Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Hi, I'm Pat Loeb, KYW's City Hall Bureau Chief. Every year for the past 8 years, I sit down with Mayor Kenney in late December and review the year that just passed. This year was different. This year, we looked back at the last 8 years, his entire term. He leaves office January 1st. He served in perhaps the hardest times the city has seen in a century. He made mistakes, but he had significant accomplishments, investments, and programs that will improve the city for generations. And yet, he always seems so unhappy. It struck me that Mayor Kenney may be the most Philadelphia of all of the city's mayors, feeling every pothole and piece of litter, every gunshot and homicide victim. And like the city itself, often seems unable to enjoy his success because he's dwelling on disappointments. You can decide as you listen if that's an accurate description.
I was assigned to your campaign headquarters in May of 2015.
Oh, okay.
And I spoke to your mother that
night. Oh, really?
And she was worried about you. It was clear you were going to win.
In what regard? Well, mothers are always worried about their kids.
This is right after the Amtrak derailment in Kensington.
Yes.
And she said she had a conversation with you about, you know, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, look at Mayor Nutter. He's not very happy right now.
Right.
And according to her, you said, that's the job.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do it.
I, you know, the Amtrak derailment was a terrible tragedy. I mean, the loss of life, and it just was terrible, terrible. But in the course of the last 4 years, we've been through, like, it's almost like biblical in proportion. I was waiting for the frogs and the locusts to come after a pandemic and after the murder of George Floyd and the civil unrest and Donald Trump being elected. It was one of the worst. That was one of the worst evenings and mornings of my political career, having Donald Trump be elected president, and then having to live through 4 years of him. And living in a state that makes it easier to get a gun than a driver's license, and having to deal with everybody going out after the pandemic and buying millions of guns and then carrying them around with them. And nowadays, argument over a parking spot becomes a shooting. Two kids look at each other wrong on a bus and winds up being a shooting. We're getting our arms around it. We're like 20% down, and it's not enough. But we're probably the lowest, the biggest reduction in gun violence and homicides in any city in the country. Memphis, Tennessee's suffering. Washington, D.C. suffering. And we're going in the right direction. So I'm confident that Mayor Parker will continue that trend.
Okay. But when you look back at that night in 2015,
could
you have imagined?
No, you're not. I was ready for the first term. I mean, no one's prepared, and there's no playbook, and there's no, like, I couldn't call up Ed Rendell and say, what did you do during the pandemic when you were mayor? There was no playbook for it and no script. Mm-hmm. And you just had to, do your best. That's all.
Okay. So let's talk about your first term.
Yeah. Challenging, but fruitful and enjoyable.
Yeah, well, let's start with the soda tax because that was a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was that big of a lift, but apparently it was. And one of the reasons why it was such a big lift is because these extremely wealthy soda company owners and boards decided to put millions and millions of dollars into lobbying against it. I mean, there were people in this city that, you know, could buy and sell me, but they were all concerned about a couple cent taxes per ounce on soda, and they fought tooth and nail. After we won the vote, they continued to badger us with lawsuits and other things, and it held up 2 years of a fully blown program of kids going into pre-K. I mean, they didn't care about the kids at all. I mean, they just didn't care. And then all the doom and gloom that was predicted, they were going to lay people off. None of it happened. So apparently all this argument over, you know, everybody losing their jobs and getting the Teamsters especially, who were friends of mine, and I'm hopefully friends of mine still, but at the time we were on opposite sides, had them all concerned and angry. It never was a possibility.
But given all that lobbying, how did you do it? How did
moms,
you get that?
Pre-K moms, park advocates, library advocates, they were unpaid. I remember Frank DiCicco called me. He was out of office, and he said to me, like whispering, "Do you think, would you be mad if I got a contract with these soda guys?" I said, "No, not at all. There'll be less money for them to put on television, and they're not going to win anyway." I knew the people who are on our side, you're not going to beat these moms. You know, you got a mom with a baby in a backpack and one pushing a stroller, she ain't backing up.
Okay, so it didn't take a lot of, like, backroom dealing.
Yeah, there was, cutting. I mean, that was one of the times where Daryl and I had a little bit of a go at it. And that was fine. I mean, but we did figure it out. People were convinced it was the right thing to do. And with, at the end of this term, 17,000 little babies are in quality pre-Ks. We've expanded the pre-K universe. Women, mostly women of color who are generationally own these businesses, have been able to expand, hire more teachers, 600 more teachers. And these kids, the first cohort of pre-K kids are now in third grade. And the third grade test scores are up. So I believe that it has something to do with that. The other thing that happened a couple years ago, and a woman came up to me and said that her sons are in the pre-K program, and they love it. It's wonderful. She said, but the other fallout from that is I don't have to stay home now. I just got a job as a SEPTA bus driver. So that raised the entire standard of the family, educationally and financially. There's a lot of good things that came out of it.
So you were off to a great start, yeah. But even then, when I sat down with you at the end of that year,
yeah.
I said, do you like your job? It looks like you don't like your job. And that was the first time you told me the story about the nun telling
your mother
you wear your heart on your sleeve.
I can't. I mean, my face is what it is. I mean, if I walked around with a smile on my face all the time, you'd think I was crazy.
But the point is that your face does reflect how you feel inside.
Yes.
So why were you unhappy even then?
It's not unhappy. I worry. I mean, I worry because the responsibility of this job is so great. And people's health and safety and education and future lies a lot in this office. And it's a bit of a weight to carry. I mean, just recently we lost a police officer working at the airport. I mean, that's one of the most heaviest things that a family like his family have to bear. And also how the police commissioner has to tell the wife that their husband's passed and we are there to experience her grief and her daughter's grief. For a guy who served in the department for 23 years and was getting ready to retire and winds up getting killed in an airport parking garage. If that doesn't weigh on you, or if that doesn't wear you down a little bit, then something's wrong with you. And I reject that whole media narrative that somehow I'm, you know, not happy or angry all the time. Not at all. I mean, there's some people in the press I don't like talking to. So I can, if it's on my face, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. But I'm generally a pretty happy, funny person. I mean, I enjoy my sense of humor, and I think people do too. But the problem is that in some ways, the media wants you to be transparent and genuine and out there. And then when you do it, they use it to beat you up with it.
So I'm going to summarize the wins of your first term. Universal pre-K, mm-hmm. rebuild, community schools, the return of local control to the school board,
yep.
stabilizing finances, which allowed more school funding and programs like the Caddo Scholars, where a group mm-hmm. of students get all expenses paid to community college,
mm-hmm.
a reduction in the prison population,
by half.
Modest but measurable decreases in poverty, legal victories over the Trump administration. Did I miss anything?
I think the other big thing, both in the first term and second term, is getting a handle on our pensions. I mean, one of the things that I always used to listen to the Chamber of Commerce complain about was wage tax, business taxes, and pension costs. We've reduced them all. But in some ways, they're still not happy. You know, it's not enough. We froze them for 2 years during the pandemic because we didn't have any cash. But we've consistently reduced taxes, and we consistently have improved the pension outlook. 40% when I came in, we're over 60% funded now, 80% funded by 2030, hopefully. Our bond rating increased from junk to 1A. I'm leaving the next mayor with the largest fund balance in history, robust rainy day fund, and poverty reduced by 4 points after a pandemic, which is not too bad. I don't know. I think we're in an environment of negativity. It's Trump-related. It's the fact that when I was a kid, we got a half hour of national news on ABC, CBS, and NBC, just a half hour. And now we have 700 cable stations that need constant content, and it's a mess. And then we didn't have social media back then either. That's insidious. It's insidious because you can bend the truth. Cowards can hide and say nasty things about people. And I think that's not been good for the country. I don't think that Twitter, now X is actually worse than Twitter ever was. Why someone like Elon Musk would want to engage in an endeavor like that to poison the minds of the country? And what is that all about?
Some of it may be related to COVID. That was such a national trauma. Happened right at the beginning of your second term.
Yeah, we started 2020 again with the largest fund balance in history, with all those things I talked about, rainy day and all that stuff. And by April, we were broke. I mean, we have no money at all. We were laying people off. And thank God for Biden-Harris and Congress passing the ARP. That gave us the cushion we needed to get business back open, restaurants back open, all that.
And I'm not sure anyone ever could have been satisfied by anything during that period. But how do you appraise your own performance during COVID?
I am not a good Ed Rendell told me one time, you're the worst self-promoter I've ever met. And I am, because I don't like when elected officials and politicians and other people brag about themselves. And I'm not a person who brags about themselves. I'd rather brag about the people who work for us and the jobs that they do than it is, look at me, look at me, look at me. Rather you not look at me, to tell you the truth. And maybe that's not a good attitude for a job like this, but it's who I am.
Well, it's admirable on the surface, but sometimes things that are your strengths can become weaknesses when...
I mean, I came to work every single day for the past 8 years, even when things were blue, and I was blue, and gave it my best every single day for 8 years. I don't know what else I can do. I mean, I can't make everybody happy and be everybody's life of the party guy. Sometimes there's no party.
But you do have these traits that people generally admire, like you're a delegator. That's preferred to being a micromanager.
Right.
But then during a crisis like COVID, I've heard people say you seem detached because you were...
Detached? I was more engaged. My problem is probably I'm too engaged. Did I internalize this? That I lay in bed at night, look at the ceiling and wonder what we're going to do tomorrow? Should I have been a one-man band with a drum? And like, I don't know what, when I get this criticism, it always strange to me because I don't understand what alternatively should I have done?
Well, I think that mayors in the past have kind of gotten through the bad stuff by really celebrating the good stuff. They let people congratulate them for doing a good job on something.
Well, it's a little new, that is a little nuanced, and it's hard for me to understand how to answer that. But I mean, I went to the Patti LaBelle concert at the Met the other night, and the affection and love I felt there, I felt great. I felt like people are really appreciative of our work, and were really loving and tender towards me. I just was a nice evening, but I get that a lot. I mean, I get that a lot now. I get heckled a lot from, you know, people in a car driving around City Hall, usually all white men. But in general, children, women especially, I mean, black women especially, are extremely protective of me and, you know, encourage me and pray for me. And, I mean, I feel good when I'm around people like that. And not everybody's very nice these days. So what are you going to do?
Well, I hate to take you back to a dark place, but I did want to talk one more time about 2020. You have people dying of COVID. There are no tests. There was no treatment, no vaccine.
No vaccine, nothing. We had to build a hospital on the Florida Lee Corps Center.
Right.
Who had to do that? What other mayor had to do that? I stood there in the arena. I looked out and said, I never would have anticipated having to do this, ever. But we did it. And then I will shout out an organization that I loved and respect and depended on, Black Doctors Consortium. One of the things that we did, I think, the best is that we were equitable in our testing and equitable in our vaccine distribution. People with money can get whatever they need from the health perspective. Poor people a lot of times can't access stuff. And people of color have a bad history with the medical community. So there's a lot of mistrust. Dr. Stanford and that group of docs, they broke through that. And I'll always fondly think of her and think of them through my older years as I'm thinking back on this stuff.
The other thing that happened during that time was that George Floyd was killed by police officers in Minneapolis. But then there was looting and setting cop cars on fire and stuff here.
Yeah, everywhere.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking the world was burning. I was sitting in the emergency operations center one evening, and I'm looking at six big screen TVs, and they have neighborhood cameras on the screens, and every single screen was on fire. But I will tell you, Daniel Outlaw and I went out after a bad time in Center City, and I expected to get hammered as far as the people at the store owners and people. Not at all. They were sweeping up. They were cleaning up. They were solemn, but they were not angry at us. They were just wanted it back to normal. So I think the resilience of people who live in this city is very strong, and you have your complainers, and a lot of times the complainers are the ones who get the most attention. But for the most part, people want to put their shoulder to the wheel and get back to normal, and that's what we did.
So you really do see the bright side in a terrible situation, a little off-brand.
But it's a scary situation. You haven't been through this before. I mean, I can't remember the last time we had that kind of civil unrest, maybe the 60s, but I was a kid back then. But when you're the mayor, you're in charge, and now you're seeing all this happen, it's very disconcerting and very serious.
So how do you think you'll look back on your two terms as mayor, say, 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
I don't know. I mean, I don't worry about legacy. Legacy is going to be what it is. People are going to write history. People are going to write stuff, and some will be bad, some will be good, and that's just the way it goes. And it's time just after January 1st, it's time to just move on and not worry about how they're going to talk about you. There's a period of time after time certain passes that you're no longer on people's minds. Like, you know, Ed Rendell did tell me the other day, every year of your ex-mayorship, you'll become more popular. So hopefully that's the case. But if it isn't, it isn't. I mean, I can't dwell on it.
Very recently, you stood next to the president of the United States. He said, Jimmy, I'm going to miss you. You've been a good mayor and a good friend.
Yep.
Were you able to enjoy that moment, just like purely enjoy?
Yeah, see, I've known him for years and years, and I like him. I would tell you a story about the train ride. When I was in high school, I was like a sophomore in high school. I had to do a paper, I interview an elected official, and he had just gotten elected to the U.S. Senate, and I thought he was pretty cool. So I wrote him a letter seeing if I could come to Washington to interview him. His staff called my house, and told my mom he can't sit down at an interview in Washington, but if he meets him on the train at Amtrak in D.C. and then drives back with him on the train to Wilmington, he can do the interview there. That's what I did, and it was fun. And I remember that forever. The other thing, it comes to presidents. I mean, Obama was awesome. President Biden's awesome. Jill's terrific. Michelle was wonderful. I just enjoyed being in their presence. The times that I've been to the White House for Christmas events or for state dinner, we went 2 months ago. And I go into the Gold Room, and I'm looking for a place to sit. And there's a round table with two people sitting at two chairs and two empty. So we go over and we sit down. It's Itzhak Perlman. I spent like an hour and a half with him. And I didn't know how to talk to him because I figured, oh, God, this guy's such a big star. And maybe he's a diva. Maybe you don't want to, you know. He was telling jokes. He was being profane. It was just wonderful to listen to him and to be with him and his wife, who's also an accomplished violinist. He was the salt of the earth. And that was the biggest highlight of the state dinner for me. They're the memorable things.
So are you happy or sad to be leaving?
I mean, I'm both. I'm looking forward to a new chapter. I'm looking back at some of the stuff that we've been through and some of the things we did right and some of the things we've made mistakes on. But you can't live in the past. You got to keep on moving forward. And I'm 65, which is not old, but it's not young. And it's time to enjoy some things and maybe do something different. And I probably most likely will never be in public office again, but I can still be in civic life. And I'm intending to take some time off to decompress, get out of town a little bit, and then come back and figure out what I'm going to do.
Those were my questions. Okay. Is there anything you want to add?
No, I just want... I want people to know that it was a privilege to be mayor. It's not always been easy, but it's been rewarding. And the most important thing, and this is twofold. Number one, whenever I feel down or blue, I get the staff to schedule a pre-K visit because that's energizing. And it's like, yeah, this is what this is all about. And then last week, I went to the P3 event at the MSB building, and that's the Group Violence Initiative. And there was a whole group of about 11 or 12 young men who had been engaged by these programs. And then there was a whole slew of mentors who have lived experience, who have been incarcerated, but now know, you know, what they have to do to keep these kids safe. It was really inspiring to see that these young men who are on a bad road, being shot or shooting somebody, kind of got it. And those guys, those older dudes, got through to them. And now they're getting the mental services, the health service they need. They're getting the training they need, and they're getting jobs. And there's 52 young men right now enrolled in the program. And that's 52 potential deaths or incarcerations that we're going to avoid. Knockwood will probably be 100 less homicides this year than last. Still too many. But that's 100 families that aren't destroyed, 100 groups of parents and friends and relatives that are not destroyed, another 100 or so or more of people who could eventually be in prison for the rest of their lives. I mean, that's powerful stuff. And I have faith that we can continue to do that, even in a state that is as stupid about guns as this state is. I'm just hoping, I just want people to be safe and happy, educated and productive and fulfilled in their life. That's a lot, but it's...
Well, thank you so much for sitting
pleasure.
Down with me.
My pleasure.
I'm going to miss our little talks.
Yeah. You can call me.
On January 2nd, Sherelle Parker becomes the 100th mayor of Philadelphia and the first woman to hold the office. I'll be there covering her as she begins her tenure. So keep looking for podcasts about Philly's mayor on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Pat Loeb. Thanks for listening.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.